I was reading the book of Titus the last couple of days, and in Titus, Paul, of course, is sending this letter to Titus and giving instruction to Titus. And one of the things that really caught my attention when I was reading, in the second chapter of Titus, at the very end of chapter 2 in verse number 14, it does say, "Who gave himself," speaking about Jesus Christ, "who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." Now, when you look up what it means by good works, we're supposed to be zealous. Jesus Christ did what he did for you and I for a purpose. He did it that he would redeem us from iniquity, that he would set us free from the bondages of sins. He did it because of his love for us. He did it motivated by his love. We've been redeemed from all iniquity, purified in him. And he did it so that we could be set aside as a peculiar or as a people that were separated, set aside for him and to his glory. And we are to be zealous of good works. When you look up what it talks about, zealous, we understand, there's supposed to be an excitement. There is supposed to be a passion that is in us, in the things that we do, in the works that we have, the good works that we have. When you read that, though, you also find out that the good works is talking about beneficial deeds. It's the doing things. It's the deeds. It's the deeds that benefits others. It is the works that you do unto the name of Jesus Christ to glorify him, to fulfill the things he's called us to do. And it's works that benefit others. Beneficial works, making a sacrifice. We're supposed to be. And this is, again, Paul is writing this letter to Titus. Titus, who's a young man, he's given him instructions on how he's to take care of the church, instructions on what he is to teach, what he is to emphasize to the people, to men individually, to women individually, and what he is supposed to do as well. We can take all these words, and these are true for us as well. So we know that one of the main points, that one of the main things that Paul is trying to share with Titus, you, Titus, as an individual, make sure that you remember all the things that Jesus did, and in remembering the good things that Jesus has done, that he's done on behalf of you, on behalf of all of us, on behalf of you, and he's purchased, essentially, he's purchased your life. He has set you free, given you freedom, purchased you from iniquity for purity's sake and for himself and to his glory. And remind the people that they are to be a people. Teach the people that this is all true for them, and that they are to be a peculiar people set aside for them, or for him. They are his own people. And as such, their lives should be filled, doing and filled with good and beneficial deeds for others. So this is kind of at the heart of one of the main points that Paul is sharing. Now, if you go into verse or chapter 3 of Titus, and remember, this is, you know, kind of a point of emphasis that he's making, is what we are supposed to be. This is instruction, giving Titus instruction on how to teach. So this is what we are to be and what we are to be teaching. It's what we're to live and what we're supposed to be teaching others and living as an example for ourselves. So as we get into this next chapter with that as a basis, and remember, there's a focus there on those good and those beneficial deeds that we're supposed to be doing. Zealous, excited at doing beneficial and good works for others. You know, that is a state of mind and a heart attitude that is not necessarily commonplace in our culture. Instead, our culture kind of teaches us, our culture definitely leads us to take care of self first. Self-preservation, self-aggrandizement, self, always looking at self and how I can better self. And it may be bettering myself, maybe that might benefit someone else. But basically, it's taking care of self first, and then whatever other benefits come to other people, well, so be it. But you take care of yourself because no one else is going to take care of you. Make your own demands. That's kind of what, demand the things, demand your rights. This is kind of the attitude of our culture. But this all flies in the face of what Paul is teaching Titus and demonstrating to Titus and telling Titus that he is supposed to be teaching and demonstrating himself. Now, with that in mind, again, listen to this next chapter, chapter 3 of Titus. Paul says, "Remind people to be submissive to their magistrates." Remind people. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey and to be ready for every good work. So here again, he's talking about the good works. Good works, zealous for good works, doing good works, being obedient in good works. This is what the Christian believer is supposed to be. This is what the follower of Christ is supposed to be. Now, we have to be mindful of that, more than mindful. We have to be diligent. We have to be determined that that's what we're going to do. Because if we just allow ourselves to flow through life and to flow in the, you know, I was with my brother was with me yesterday, and he was actually coming back from Michigan, driving from Michigan with his wife, and they stopped off in Perrysburg and spent some time with us and then drove on to Eastern Ohio when they're going. And my brother's wife said that she was a little bit nervous because he was going, you know, about 80 all the way. And my brother got that kind of sly look on his face, and he said, well, you know what, seriously? I was just going with the flow of traffic. Had I gone slower, I would have been a detriment. I would have actually made myself. This is true. Have you ever been that in traffic where traffic is flowing so fast that if you don't keep up with traffic, you actually become a danger to it? And so we get that mindset of just kind of going with the flow, going with the flow of the traffic. It's easier. It makes us less dangerous. It makes us less of an impediment. But you know what? At the end of the day, it doesn't matter what rationalization I use. When I'm going with the traffic flow, if I'm going 80 miles an hour or 85 miles an hour, whatever the case might be, I'm still breaking the law. Right? I'm still just as guilty. If I'd be pulled over and given a ticket, my argument couldn't be, well, I was just going with the flow of traffic. Well, it doesn't matter. You broke the law. Well, it's that way in life. You know, it's easy for us in life to just go with the flow of life, go with the flow of our culture. If we just go along with the flow, you know, not trying to, I don't want to be an impediment. I don't want to slow anything down. I don't want to, you know, cause other people to, you know, have to be difficult to other people, make them have to go around or they get stuck behind me. I just want to go with the flow so I'm not an impediment to those around me. That sounds good, but that's not right. If you're just going with the flow with traffic, but it's causing you to break the law, then it's wrong. That's all there is to it. I can rationalize it 10 different ways, but at the end of the day, it's still wrong, and if I get pulled over, I get a ticket, and rightfully so. Well, we can take that same mindset and say that if I'm just going with the flow of culture, I have to be diligent and determined to do what Paul is telling Titus to do. I have to be diligent. I have to wake up every day and say to myself, I'm going to be different. I'm not going to be like the world because I live in the world. And I can easily get caught up in the flow of the world. And the flow of the world is going to be contrary to the word of God. And the flow of the world is going to be contrary to the things that Jesus expects out of me. If I get up and I have not made the determination today that I'm going to follow Jesus Christ, I'm going to be diligent to do his word. Now that might make me an impediment in some people's minds. If I'm in 85 mile an hour traffic and I'm not going with the flow, I'm back down to whatever the speed limit is. I have people that are angry with me. They get behind me. They got to slow down. I'm impeding them and they're angry with me. Well, by the same token, if I'm not going with the flow, if I'm not going at the speed and with the flow in life, same thing is happening. Yeah, I become an impediment to people because I'm standing for righteousness. I'm standing for things that are different or even sometimes even opposed, in opposition. Well, most of the time, in opposition to the things of the world and the things the world says are okay. Because the world justifies and rationalizes and says, using the same illustration of the flow of traffic, you know, the world says, hey, everyone else is going that speed. I got to do it too. Well, in the flow of life, the world says, hey, this is what everybody else is doing. This is what you got to do. If you don't do it, if you don't go along with it, you're an impediment. You're slowing other people down. Well, Jesus intends for us to be an impediment, to slow other people down, to help bring other people out of that flow of life and into the flow of Jesus Christ. But I cannot do that unless I make the diligent determination every day that I am not going to go with the flow of the world, but I'm going to go with the flow. I'm going to be in the Word of God and in the flow of Jesus Christ, out of the flow of the world. Is it going to make you popular? No, because you're going to slow people down. You become an impediment. But it's what we're supposed to be. We should be an impediment to the world because Jesus Christ has something better for the people than the world. We do want to impede them so that they're not all on that fast track. They're not using that same illustration. They're not out there breaking the law where they become subject to the penalties of breaking the law. Despite their rationalization, You know, if they're going 85 miles an hour, even if it's the flow of traffic, you know, they are breaking the law. And then they're subject to the penalties that come with breaking the law. Well, if I allow people to go with the flow of life and I'm not an impediment to them, they can rationalize all they want. But if they're going against the word of God and they are making themselves subject to the world, they make themselves subject to the penalties of the world. They make themselves subject to the penalties that come with not obeying the word of God. They make themselves subject to all the things of life, and they make themselves subject to the one that they are yielding to, which is not Jesus. They're yielding to the enemy. They're yielding to the things of the world. We should be an impediment to them. Don't get caught up in the flow of life and miss the fact that as Paul is telling Titus and instructing us as well, we should be doing something different. But I cannot do that unless I diligently every day determine, okay, Todd, don't get caught up in the flow of the world. Don't get caught up in the flow of life. Remember, there's a different call for you. Remember, we've been told that Jesus Christ gave himself on our behalf, that he would redeem us, purchase our freedom from all iniquity, and purify for himself a people. He's purified you and I unto himself as his own people, who should be eager and enthusiastic about living a life that is good and filled with beneficial deeds. If I get up and I just get into the flow of the world, guess what? My mind is not on that. I have to make the diligent choice to say every day, you know what? Jesus, I'm serving you. I'm not going to get caught up in the flow of life. I'm remembering your word and I'm living by your word. I know that you've redeemed me. I know that you've bought me with a price. You've bought me and given me freedom from iniquity. You've purified me to yourself by your blood. To me, so that I will be your own. I'm part of your people. And I'm eager and enthusiastic about living a life not like the world and not in the world, but living a life that is good and filled with beneficial deeds. In other words, I'm doing things that are not necessarily to benefit me, but I'm doing things that are set aside to do and accomplish the will of Jesus Christ and will benefit other people. That doesn't happen if I am just in the flow of the world, in the flow of life. That only happens when I make that diligent determination. So in chapter 3, again, it goes on to say, remind them to be subject to the rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. So again, we see that Paul is instructing Titus and you and I to be ready to do that good work. So we should be zealous, we should be diligent, we should be enthusiastic about doing those good works. Not the works of the world, but the works of Jesus Christ. We should be enthusiastic and eager to do those things, zealous to do those things. But now we're also told that we should be ready. Am I ready? Am I ready to do his good works today? That's what I'm called to do. In the Amplified, it says, remind people to be submissive to their magistrates and authorities, to be obedient, to be prepared and willing to do any upright and honorable work. This flies in the face of everything we see taking place in our culture today. Because right now, you know, it doesn't matter who you voted for or how you voted. None of that makes any difference at all because the election is done. And whether or not the candidate you wanted won or not, this is the process and this is the legal process. And this is, you know, this is what the Constitution, this is what the law of the land has set forth. You may not agree with it, but that's it's set forth. And we are to be submissive. There are rules and regulations and we submit to them. And we do this not with anger. There's, and I'm not pointing any fingers at one side. There is anger on both sides. But this flies in the face. See, it's easy to get angry, and it's easy to not want to submit to those that you do not agree with. But this is what Paul's saying to Titus. Remind people to be submissive to their magistrates and authorities, and to be obedient. And to be prepared and willing to do any upright and honorable work. Now, he's talking about doing any upright and honorable work, even for those magistrates and even for those authorities. That's not the mindset of the culture today, but it's the mindset that we are supposed to have. We'll look at this a little bit further tomorrow. But from the letter that Paul writes to Titus, we can see the imperative It is easy to get in the flow of the world. If the rest of the world is angry, it's easy for me to get into that flow and be angry as well. And I'm not supposed to be angry. I'm supposed to be submissive. It's easy to get into the flow of the world. And in the flow of the world, it's easy to then rationalize and make compromises. I can't be in the flow of the world. I have to make the diligent choice today and tomorrow. I'm not going to get in the flow of the world. I am in your flow, Jesus Christ. And it might mean that I'm an impediment because I'm going to say things that the world doesn't like, but I'm saying and standing for your principles. I'm saying and standing and speaking your word and your truth. And if it's an impediment to others, it's a good impediment because it helps get them out of that flow of the world and focused on your word where there is freedom because you've bought them. If they'll accept it, you've bought them at a price also. Jesus, we thank you and praise you for your word and your truth. Let us live by it. Help us in your strength to make that diligent choice today to walk not in the flow of the world, but to walk in your flow. That you are glorified. In your name, Jesus. Amen.